Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
And today we are going to be talking about tomorrow, Scott. That's our topic for this episode. We're so thankful again that you have joined us. Before we jump into the topic at hand, we just want to remind everybody listening that we love the opportunity to talk about God's Word with you here. If you ever have questions about anything we talk about on this show, or you want us to talk about a certain subject, a spiritual matter, subject from the Bible, anything, you can always reach out to us. Give us a phone call at 513-398-9607. You can reach us on our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org, and contact us. Let us know how we can be of assistance to you. Also on our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org, you can find sermon audio, you can find articles, you can find old episodes of this program. So go on there and find all of that. So Scott, today we're going to be talking, as we mentioned, about tomorrow, and really this is going to start off in Exodus chapter 8. So for those of you who are familiar with your Bible, if you don't have it open in front of you right now, if you're driving or doing yard work or whatever it may be, Exodus chapter 8 is at the start of Moses intervening on behalf of the people of Israel in Egypt, and now we've come to the second of these plagues that God is performing through Moses and Aaron. So Exodus chapter 8 begins this way. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all of your servants.'" So, Scott, you have this plague. And we see other plagues that God's going to use wildlife and natural phenomena to make a point in supernatural ways to drive this point home that he is in control, that he wants Pharaoh to let his people go. This second plague, you just have to imagine what this is like. Being from this area, you know, every 17 years we get the cicada swarm, and that gives us some perspective of what a truly abnormal amount of animals would do. But we're talking about tiny cicadas, and yeah, you can hear them buzzing, but you go out on a normal night in Ohio during the summer and you hear the frogs, whether they're in the trees or by a lake, you hear the big frogs. These are frogs coming up out of the Nile, it says. So these huge, massive frogs just coming up and invading every part of the people's lives, from their houses to being all over them to being in the things that they would prepare food in. It's overwhelming. And so then you get to this point where, okay, Pharaoh has a choice to make. You have this total disruption of society, of family life, of your personal life. And so God says, this is the consequence if you're not going to let them go. So Moses and Aaron are going to go into Pharaoh, and this is what they say, Exodus, beginning, picking up in verse 8. "Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, sacrifice to the Lord.'" So you have this realization, the plague comes, the frogs do this, they invade Egypt, and so Pharaoh has this moment of, listen, anything to get rid of these frogs. Verse 9, "Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs may be cut off from you and from your houses and be left only in the Nile." Another translation, Scott, instead of "be pleased to command me," it says, "the honor is yours to tell me." So Moses is basically saying, great, we're making progress, you tell me. For us, if you were put into Pharaoh's situation, Scott, when would you say to get rid of these frogs?
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, why? Yesterday, I think, also the appropriate. We want to get rid of this terrible situation now, ASAP. So it's fascinating when you get to understand what Pharaoh will actually say. But before we get to that, Scott, I just want to stress the idea that this idea of what Moses says, "the honor is yours, be pleased to tell me." Joshua will go on later on in Israel's history, once they're out of Egypt, in chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, and talk about this idea in verse 15, that the people have to choose who they're going to serve. Pharaoh has a choice, who he's going to listen to. Is he going to listen to his own hardened heart, or is he going to listen to God? Matthew 16 and verse 26, it's this whole idea of, am I willing to trade the world for my soul? Who am I going to listen to? Ultimately, God has given us the gift of free will. We have the choice of what we're going to do with our time and what we're going to do with our decisions that we make. Pharaoh's decision in this instant, though, is very fascinating.
What's so odd from our perspective, his answer, and I think there certainly is reasons as to why he says this, the desire for his magicians and his sorcerers to be able to do something, or is he truly going to have to lean on God? And it's interesting that his response is, the choice is yours. What's it going to be? When do you want this to happen? And his answer was, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is the day that I would like for you to do this. And the reality so often, Tyler, is that we get caught up in the same response. You know, we understand, or perhaps we have a desire to have a relationship with God, but the greatest day in many people's minds to start living for Him, start reading my Bible, start praying to Him, start worshiping Him is tomorrow. It's always, you know, a day away, as the song would say. It's amazing how often we come down to that mindset. And the reality so often for us as we make application is that we almost expect tomorrow to be. And the reality is that's not an option necessarily. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. I'm reminded of Proverbs, the 27th chapter and verse 1, where it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is even going to be. The interesting piece is we need to make the most of every day. So the choice is ours, as you had brought up. The danger sometimes, just like Pharaoh did, is that our answer is also going to be simply tomorrow, not understanding. I mean, to the point you were making, it's amazing to even think about not only that they were coming out of their dishes and their houses, they were among them, they were with the people, the sound that they would have heard, there would have been no sleeping, their whole life. He talks about this swarm of frogs, just this amazing devastation that would have been going on, and they're just everywhere, how gross that would be. And the person that's in charge is given the opportunity to get rid of them at that moment, and his answer is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Is so fascinating. But when it comes to us, you know, instead of frogs, if we say sin, or if we say whatever we are tempted by, whatever the addiction is, whatever we struggle with, I'm going to try to do something about it tomorrow, way too often is the answer, when the reality is the answer needs to be today.
Absolutely. And that is the whole point of, I think, Pharaoh's response for us, is to understand that we have to understand that today is the day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we'll talk about, we have been given this time right now to do something. God has been patient. He gives us the time. Peter will talk about those, even in his day, who have said, you know, things have been going on this way for as long as we can remember. Why should we expect God's going to end things? And Peter's like, listen, you're taking God's patience as something that the only thing you can understand God's patience to be is what he gets at is salvation. He is being patient because he wants you to be saved. There's going to come a point where his patience will end and the world will be consumed with fire, and then it will be a matter of judgment. This comes down to us understanding, I have to make sure I am prepared at every moment. If I feel like I'm not living the right way that God wants me to, then that's not something of, I need to work on that eventually. No, there are frogs in your house. There are frogs in your kneading bowls. Get them out. You have the power to get them out now. You have been offered the opportunity for God to rid you of this horrible nonsense called sin in your life. So why wouldn't you take him up on that ASAP? And it's the same silliness of Pharaoh saying tomorrow, when we say, well, let me get my act together a little bit more and then I'll come to God. That's like saying, let me clean up some of the frogs myself and then I'll ask God to get rid of the really big ones. They're going to reproduce and they're going to be more than what you can get rid of, by the way. This whole conversation has got to sink in for us. The other aspect, Scott, to understand is even when the frogs are gone, that there are consequences that remain. Still in Exodus chapter 8, verse 10, when Moses, after Pharaoh says tomorrow, Moses says, "Be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frog shall go away from you, and your houses, and your servants, and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile." So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs, and he did agree, and as he had agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. So it would have been nice from the perspective of the people, and maybe even of Pharaoh, for the frogs. You know, you came up here on this accord of God supernaturally willing you all to come up here. Why couldn't you all just leave in the same fashion? But God makes them understand, you have a lesson to learn from this. So instead of making them all go back down into the Nile of their own accord, he just outright wipes them out. which is also interesting to consider. He could have wiped out all the Egyptians at any moment, but he wipes out the frogs in the sense of, listen, Pharaoh, your heart was hard. The Egyptians are treating the Israelites badly. There is a punishment here, and while Pharaoh seemingly repents at this point, there are still consequences to that sin of hardness of heart. There's still going to be the stench that's just overpowering. You talked about the noise beforehand. It was probably smelly beforehand when it was just, you know, amphibious creatures crawling all over the place. They're probably bringing some gunk up out of the Nile with them. And, you know, animals do things that are also smelly. But this whole idea of rotting flesh everywhere, and you have to pile it up in these heaps that would have been just all over the place, the death and the decay. The lesson here for us to understand, Scott, is that even though we come to God, even though we submit to Him, those are the things He requires for us. We can't imagine that God will remove every single consequence from sin. So the understanding that Adam and Eve, once they were cast out of the garden, they were still trying to have a relationship with God as much as they could. They were trying to instruct their children. Obviously, some of this is passed down as you see people still trying to make good with God. You even see Cain and Abel making offerings. Who taught them how to do that? Well, allegedly their parents. So there's still this relationship there. But the consequence, the death that's experienced even today, that physical death that was brought in and ushered in by Adam and Eve, is still prevalent. There's consequences to that first sin, just like there are consequences some days for us. I think one of the hardest things about this, Scott, is the Bible's teaching on marriage and divorce and remarriage. When we come to a subject like this, and that it's for any subject, quite frankly, depending on what your experiences is with it, but if you understand what God says, who is eligible for marriage and who is ineligible, when you read Matthew 19 just as it is written, are you going to let that sink into your heart and understand, I want to please God, and if it means that I can't get married for the rest of my life, then all glory and honor be to God. I'm going to use what ability I have to serve Him the best way that I can. Or am I going to say, that's completely unfair, why are these frogs stinking up the land? Well, it's because there's consequences to the sin in the past. You are forgiven of those sins, but you still have to work through the consequences. You know, just because a murderer obeys the gospel, which they certainly did back in the New Testament times, that doesn't bring the one who's killed magically back to life. There's still consequences there. So we have to understand that. And I believe that God used that for a purpose. Just as He let the frogs fill up the land and stink to drive home this point of, this is how filthy sin is. There are going to be consequences for us when we engage in that sin. Even after Christ has removed it and we are pronounced clean, we still have to learn to live in accordance with God's word after the fact.
And again, the amazing thing is, as we try to make application of this, is that we look at Pharaoh and we're just like amazed that he would say tomorrow, or he'd be amazed at just this smell, the stench, the craziness that this plague brought onto the people. And yet, to your point, and the point hopefully we're making, is the idea that we do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the interesting part when you look at verse 15 of Exodus, the 8th chapter, where it says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as the Lord had said." And the reality is, Tyler, there's a lot of people that view God this way. We're almost like we're going to make a bargain, a deal with Him. If you get me through this, I'm going to start worshiping you more. If you get me through this, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to have a better relationship with you. And so often we look at that situation and we think about ourselves, and you think about it from His perspective. When we look around and we realize, oh, that's taken away. Everything's fine now. Okay, I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing before. We miss the absolute point. God offers us salvation, and the reality so often is that we have a choice to make, and we can change our minds, and we can decide to put off obedience until another day, and we can fool ourselves into thinking that there's another day for us to have, instead of today being the day of salvation, and understanding that principle. If we had frogs in our house, we'd be quickly, or more apt to at least quickly get rid of them, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we have sin, and it's the same thing, and we need to have even a quicker response to that, to understand how important it is to get rid of that sin, and we would love the opportunity to help you with that.
Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app, and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.